Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, guys. I'm Flourish Peters. I just sipped tea with Timmy San on his podcast, Tea with Tay. You will love it. It's the Christmas edition. Jesus is the reason for the season. Enjoy Jesus. Blessings.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another fresh episode of Tea with Tay. This is the Christmas episode and I'm excited that I have somebody here to talk about Jesus. I mean, it's Jesus' birthday. So I thought to myself, what should we be talking about on Christmas Day, if not about the birth of Jesus Christ? So I brought my pastor, Father Logic. So this Christmas cap fits you now. You do, so you know where I'm from.
Timmy Sam made me wear this, just putting it out there.
But this looks nice.
I don't know that it looks nice. I'll let the people
even
decide.
Match this, your green. You know that Christmas clothes with this green.
Yeah, that's what I thought about. But I didn't know. If you had said this, I would, maybe I'll figure out something else to wear. But
you wear like red Yoruba cap.
Sorry, you're breaking, you said?
red title chief cap.
No. It's good to be here, Timmy Sam. I think you do a fantastic job. And last time I was here, received testimonies all over the world.
Yeah.
But in the US, I ran into a guy who said, watch the Jesus episode in London too. I mean, fantastic.
Thank you for the praise. My audience are foreigners.
Hey, bro.
Man, I say this episode, it really, like, you know, if you check the back end, you can tell the episodes that really did well.
Okay.
I think your episode is one of the episodes that people listen to the end.
I'm so
because he really
that.
Liked it. Like, there's lots of feedback. So
I'm grateful to God.
I'm excited
that.
About this episode because, I mean, we're going to talk about Jesus, somebody that I really like. I really like that guy.
I'm glad.
I didn't used to like him before like that, but I mean, I think I've learned how to fall in love with Jesus. It's the birth of Jesus. But before we get into, like, Jesus talk, like, how's your year been? I mean,
well,
Christmas we don't reach, so
it's been a powerful year, to be honest. Remarkable year, but you know, as life happens to everyone, I received some tough blows, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Below the belt, punch, you know, but God just helps you. Your help for me just past, hope for years to come, very present help in times of trouble. My shield and buckler, glory and the lifter up of my head. So God gets me through everything that the year brought. But it's been beautiful. I would say it's a remarkable year. I have no regrets. Fantastic year. God has been good. Very good.
Very
family-wise, church-wise, personally, you know, I came into a different dimension of, you know, of the grace of God. And very grateful to God. How's your year been?
Entered a new dimension. Sorry, we'll talk about your church. Your church blew, shall.
Our church, right?
Our church now, but yeah. you know, say pastor, a celebrity too in their own rights.
I don't know whether I would take the work as a celebrity. It comes with a lot of responsibility.
I know.
You know, I grew up with a father who said to me, if you want the key of this church, if I throw it at you, duck, just dodge it. I would say to even young pastors around me, if you're given the key of the apostolic head of Logic Global, run away. It comes with huge responsibility. You bury somebody in the morning, you have a wedding in the evening, and you have to cry with those who cry in the evening. You have to smile because you cannot use your reggae to destroy their blues.
A beacon of hope.
Because it's their big day. So it's a lot. You're counseling, you're saying this, you are the morgue today, you're in the hospital. Say, oh, congratulations, your baby. It's a lot of work. it's a lot of work. And, you know, and a lot of work, you have to be careful too, because you na pastor mess this may pass.
I reckon for you.
And so you have to be careful. You offend some people. You would, you know, but again, like I say to myself all the time, I'm not jollof rice. I'm not supposed to please everybody. I'm just going to fiercely face my focus. Peace when they scatter for ground, not they dig hole. So that's where I stay.
I think that you are very strong about the things that you believe, and you are flourish 24 hours, 7 days a week, right? I mean, the first time I met you, you were not drinking.
So no, I wasn't drinking.
I could put my pastor for problem.
You were about to drink.
I was drinking.
I was eating.
Right.
And I told you not to come to church, that if you come to church, you won't go back. And you thought I was joking. Where are you today?
I'm in his presence.
You see, I don't steal sheep. I just grow. I put a tiny door at the entrance of our church.
The sheep come in.
And the tiny and skinny sheep like you come in, and I feed them very fat. Then they can leave.
I'm very fat right now.
I know. Ooh, that's why you can leave.
Almost. Okay, let's talk about Jesus, right?
Yeah.
So lately, I'm beginning to like Jesus a lot, right?
You have to, because you're receiving his love. That's how you love him.
Yeah.
The best way to love him is to receive his love, because you don't have love to give to him. So the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. So one of the things religion will throw at you is love God with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your power, and you must love God. So he puts you on the treadmill to perform. But understanding the gospel of God's grace is you receive his love vertically to dispense his love horizontally. Right. Yeah, so it's one of the best ways to love God is to receive his love. What is love? Not that we loved him, but that he loved us first and became a propitiation for our sins by dying for us. Then we love him now because he first loved us. So the reason you are enjoying the love of God, you are having love to give God back, is because you have received his love. You see, God cannot receive anything that is from man except it is from him. So God throws at you and releases to you enough love that you have enough love to love him back.
Such a lovely guy.
Yes.
Let's talk about his birth. Right. Christmas, right? First of all, is Christmas supposed to be on the 25th of December? What does Christmas mean to us as believers?
No, you've asked me two questions. Yes. I need to know which one you want me to start with.
Start with, is it supposed to be on the 25th?
You see, Jesus is the one who began the beginning before the beginning began, and no one began him himself. So you can't tie him to a date. So yes, 25th of December was not when Jesus was born. We're not celebrating the day, we're celebrating his birth.
Right.
So he could be born in October, November, January, February, March. That's not the argument here. I think what we need to focus is focus on the fact that Jesus was born. And so because he was born, that's what gives us hope. And that's what we're celebrating his birth, not the day. Not the days that he came. That means God came out of God with a face called Jesus, born by the zeal of God to die for us. And the question, the second question would, why is Christmas significant to us as as believers? I've said this all the time, that the birth is not the gospel. The gospel is his death, his burial, and resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 5 elucidates that clearly throughout the scriptures. But why is his birth important? The birth shows us the beginning of the journey to the cross.
Right.
So Jesus' sacrifice did not start on the road Via Dolorosa. It started when he decided to come. That's a huge sacrifice. That he left the architectural monstrosity of heaven and, you know, wrapped himself, the manifold of God, made the virgin womb his changing room. So all the time Mary carried Jesus, it was Jesus carrying Mary. Because he's life. So the Bible says the word became flesh. All the time Mary thought she was breastfeeding Jesus, it was Jesus supplying the milk, because Jesus is the source. So the sacrifice of just bringing himself down, the Son of God became the Son of Man, so that the sons of men would become sons of God. So the significance of Christmas to the believer should be he came. So Christmas is not us celebrating a man who went to heaven. Christmas is heaven came down to meet us. Christmas is man couldn't get to God. God had to come get man to God.
So it's less about the day, but it's more about what he did yeah. and how he came.
The reason. It's the more reason. About the reason. Mm. That's when we say Jesus is the reason for the seasons. When purpose is not known, misuse is inevitable. Mm. So any celebration of Christmas without receiving salvation is just another festival that is not effective to your faith. So the child was born in the manger. Christ was born in our hearts. Mm. That's what we're celebrating, that we have this Christ in our hearts. And that's the essence of Christmas. It's not about the commercialization of the season and, you know, sales. People make a lot of money during Christmas. Mm. And I'm just saying Jesus is beautiful in every way. That's the most beautiful season of the year. Nobody can argue. It's just, there's just actually, something. Yes.
Just the fact that it's his birthday.
Day. Whether or not you say it's not his birthday, it's not this, it's not 20. I agree. I'm not, but I'm just saying it's the most beautiful season of the year. There's something about Jesus.
There's something about him, you can't deny it.
Globally, it's the most beautiful season of the year. Even unbelievers now know that Christmas period is special.
Just leave him for them.
Just leave him. You know.
No, but if Jesus was here now, like in 2022, what kind of guy do you think he would be? Because I imagine that we have very similar characteristics. Like, I mean, I feel like Jesus was like such a storyteller. I am a storyteller. Mm-hmm. You understand? Jesus was such a cool guy, hung out with literally everybody. And that's me. But what kind of personality do you think he would have had? Like his wit, his wisdom.
I think in this generation, he would be grossly misunderstood. But I would tell you, Jesus would be the coolest guy. Jesus was really cool. Like, but religion doesn't show you that side of Christ.
Exactly.
It shows you a schoolmaster who's trying to just find something that you do wrong and then come hard on you.
Hmm.
John, for instance, Jesus shows up at a wedding and they ran out of wine. The mother knew that my guy can fix this. So whatever he says to you, do it. So Jesus became the life of that party.
Oof.
You see what I'm saying? So he brought wine, brought life back to a party. It was not a church service.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a convention.
So let's put it into this parlance. It was, let's say, a party with... at a hall in maybe Oriental,
and they ran out of wine.
And Jesus just look everywhere, say, these guys, bless him.
They're not sabi party.
They're not sabi party.
They're not sabi do this thing well. Mm. They don't run out of wine. So it's possible to be metaphorically, in a relationship and you're just doing stuff, but you know you've run out of wine. You need Jesus.
Mm.
You can be in the business and you're doing your 8 to 5. You're a couple watching me right now. You guys are just sitting, but you know that you have run out of wine. You're in a business and you're doing your entrepreneurial stuff. You smell good, you look good, you drive good, you come out. But you, between you, yourself and yours, you know that, Omo, I'm running out of wine. That if something doesn't pull through, I can't pay this rent. January is coming. But we just carry the facade and, you know, we'll come out like everything is good. But guess what? We're running out of wine. That's when you really need Jesus. So that John chapter 2 is so powerful. So Jesus showed up. The party was still going on. The Bible didn't say, and they were about to close the party. The party was going on. The guys were there, but they had run out of wine. So he saw and said, you know what? I can fix this.
It's such a fixer.
That means I don't want Dolu now.
Mm.
I didn't come here to say, okay, now that the wine is over, all of you listen to me. No, bring you listen to me. Pay attention to me right now. I want to speak. No.
Messiah.
He continued the party. He gave them turned water to wine. And that's so powerful. The significant thing about turning water to wine in John chapter 2, this is the first time Jesus is performing a miracle, you know, publicly. The reason the mother said, anything he says to you, do it. It's simple. Jesus was doing stuff at home. That's how the mother knew that, hey, the last time I said there was no bread, I went to the kitchen, I saw, because he's the bread of life.
Ooh.
So the mother knew there was something about this guy and said, whatever he says to you, do it. He even said, woman, it's not my time. The mother was like,
No, I know that one.
Leave that one, is in his nature. You see what I'm saying? He can't help himself. You know, the woman with the issue of blood that touched Jesus, it was out of Jesus' will. That's why Jesus said, who touched me? His will was not involved, but his nature. Miracle not tire Jesus. So the mother and you say, leave this thing, all this thing, when he talk, whatever he says to you, just do it. And then he turned water to wine. And then he said something really very profound. He said, how is it that you've saved the best wine for the last? Because usually they'll bring that strong wine at the beginning. When people are drunk, they don't know that they are giving you nonsense at the end, you know, quote and unquote. But that is just a sign that God is always in the business of saving the best for the last. to someone watching me this morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you're watching from, and you think the year is over, guess what? God is in the business of saving the best for the last. Mm-hmm. And if he created the whole world in 7 days, he can turn your life around in 2 minutes. Because that is the nature of God, to always save the best for the last. Men's conclusion is God's preamble. When you say it's over, that's when he shows up. Glory to God.
Glory, glory, glory. So today we're just going to talk about Jesus and his birth, and because it's his birthday, so it's just best to talk about him. Like, you know, when I started liking Jesus, which happened probably this year.
Yeah.
So I started reading about like a lot of parables and the things that he used to say, and I started getting a bit of his personality. And I would ask you what your favorite parable is.
Ooh, interesting.
I think mine is that of the talents. Huh. What's your favorite one?
My favorite parable of Jesus is Luke chapter 15.
I feel the story, but I don't know the chapter.
If you know the story, but I don't know. Luke 15 talks about, first of all, the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. That's powerful. You know, Jesus couldn't preach the gospel. Let me explain what I'm saying. He couldn't really say what he really wanted to say. He did a disclaimer in John when he was saying that there are many things I would like to say to you, but you cannot handle it now. So I would have to leave so that the Holy Ghost would come. So he's trying to download a video in Nokia 3310. They were not born again. So Jesus preached the gospel in parables, but couldn't go black and white with them. So he spoke in parables. So he talked about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. The lost sheep, the man left the 99 and went after the one. Mm. Yeah. So because Jesus is the one who never leaves the one behind. That's good stuff. See what I'm saying? So he left the 99 and went after the one. So what did that sheep do to be found?
Nothing.
Nothing! Jesus is the one who pursues. So all those things we say in church, and then I found the Lord. No, you didn't find him. It was God who found you. Where did you see him? GPS. Or how did you locate him?
Because you always say something that sometimes the grace to like Jesus, if he gives it to us.
Yeah, yeah. He releases you to you what that you
faith,
need. Yeah,
the faith that we have.
To love him back. And then he leaves the lost sheep as if they didn't get the illustration. He goes about, he goes to the lost coin. A certain woman had 10 coins. You know, 10 is a number of completeness. Like, you know, my daughter is 3. She knows how to count now. But when we're teaching her how to count, she had to learn 1 to 10. Because once you learn 1 to 10, you can count the rest. 11 is 1-1. 12 is 1-2, you know, and so 10 is a number of completeness. When she lost one, the Bible says she turned on the light, swept the house until she found the coin. You see what I'm saying? And then you find the lost son, the prodigal son. So the lost sheep, the lost coin.
I really like the story of the prodigal
son. The lost son. And this was Jesus showing up so that we can look back in retrospect and say, he was trying to send a message to them. And I'm the good father. So the story of the prodigal son is not the star of the text. The father is the star of the text.
How so?
He ran after the son and kissed him outside when he had not had his bath. The Bible says he was smelling like pig. And guess what he did? Clothed him outside of the palace so that he returned back like he never left.
So good.
Because if it was my mom, you go enter house, she will bath you. So you smell like pig.
You don't come back.
No. Wait till old mama, they sit down for grand, they see young no, boy, no go see him for. I not tell you.
We need to say Jesus different from our but you see,
he ran after the guy, was like, oh, I'm not worthy to be called your son. He didn't even get to that. His Obama speech, make me one of your servants. No, the father said to him, servant, put on his clothes. They changed his clothes, changed his ring, and changed his shoes. That's so powerful because he was a son. Moses, as a servant, they told Moses, pull your shoes. But as the son, they told him, wear your shoes. That's powerful.
These are actually connected in a way.
I'm telling you, we're able to see properly, you know, because the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So we're able to see. So he changed the boy outside, then brought him in so that the whole palace would not see his son's smell. So God is so interested about how our identity, our reputation is his reputation. He kissed him, changed him. So you know what? I have a lamb who took your punishment. So go kill the lamb, because the substitute is always a lamb or a man. That's so powerful right there, Timmy said. So there was a lamb for substitution for what he did. And then, the reason he's the star of the text, his older brother came to the house and did not want to enter the house. Guess who went to get the older brother? The father went to get the older brother.
Because someone was feeling distraught.
So. Yes, but the father didn't abandon the older brother because of the younger brother. Hmm. He went, I'm father to all. So I dare say it is the prodigal father in the prodigal son that brought the prodigal son back to the prodigal father. Because he's actually, the story is actually the prodigal father.
Hmm.
Because guess what? He didn't have a problem distributing his wealth to his sons. But the other guy didn't know that that was his portion. If you have two sons, they divided into two. Who has the other one? But he kept laboring to please his father, not knowing that the father was already pleased with him.
That's what a lot of us do. The entire body of Christ, right? Yeah.
Let me show you something. There's offspring, there's off course, and there's offset. So the guy was an offspring. Mm. And that was not going to change. Yes, he went off course. Mm. But the father already had a plan to offset and bring him back home. That's the message of the love of God, the promiscuity of the grace of God.
So why is this not the most resounding message in the church? Because there's too many things that the church is preaching right now.
Yeah.
That's chasing people away from that love. Imagine, before we started this conversation, I think I said Jesus is so cool or something.
Yeah.
And my producer was like, is he?
Is he cool? Yeah.
I'm like, who? Do you know this guy?
He's been grossly misrepresented.
Do you know my favorite scene from the Bible?
Talk to me.
I feel like Jesus and I are very similar. I feel like Jesus also gets some kind of small attitude. We say, as in my expression, you know if you try nonsense with him. That type of
talk
thing.
To me about that.
You know when they brought the adulterous woman to him and he cast on the floor, he was already rising. Mm. So I'm sure... As they talk to Ram, they hear that kind of worry boy behavior of what did it happen for you? He first ignored the right belly full face. Because I said, Master, how far? So he just raised it. Look them. Okay. If never any one of you has not seen, cast the first stone, go back to what they do. That's something I would have done.
That's something you would have done, right?
That's a no get sense move.
You know, there's still a huge, what you said is so powerful, there's still a huge hermeneutical, expository about what did he write. The Bible never makes it, it's not clear in scripture what Jesus did write on the ground.
Mm.
And I'm silent where the Bible is silent. Mm. I'm loud where the Bible is loud. Now, there's a thought that he wrote upon stones. It was a stony ground. So he was telling them, I wrote the law and I can rewrite the law. And I think that is really powerful.
Hmm.
But the worry imagination in my head, let me tell you what I'm thinking about. Because the first thing he said to them is, he who is without sin, cast the first stone.
I see all of them.
They still hold their stone, the form, nothing they're opening. He now started writing on the ground. This is from the animation of my imagination. Can you imagine maybe Elder Thomas, Elder Christopher, and then Elder Emmanuel Dede? So he wrote on the ground, Thomas, Echo Hotel 203. Emmanuel, Dubai 2022. So by the time he started writing on the ground, the Bible says they all dropped their stone. And that makes sense to me. I mean, I can't preach this doctrinally, but because he asked them a question, if you are without sin, cast the first stone. So it was like, okay, perhaps... You guys are not aware that you're talking to the one who, the Bible says, all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And then she said to the woman, where are your accusers? She says, they are not here. Jesus said to her first, neither do I accuse you. That is powerful. He didn't say, go and see no more. First, he said, neither do I accuse you. In that statement, he liberated her. Now, there is a thought of go and sin no more was a warning. No, it was not a warning. It was an empowerment. Religion will put a demand on you to perform. Grace gives you enablement to become. That's so powerful. Religion puts a demand on you to perform. Grace. So what he did by saying go and sin no more is giving a child money and say, take this money, not disturb me about hunger again. You know what I'm saying? Oh, brothers are the hungry. Take 100,000. And not tell me, say you're hungry again. So what he did, he empowered her to sin no more. not threatening and say, if you like me, they catch you next time, I know, did, and now you know. That's not what he was doing. It was empowerment, because the message of God's grace, watch this, is both the pardon and the power. The pardon is, neither do I condemn you. The power is, go and sin no more. And the power is not a demand to perform, it's an empowerment to become. I need to say that again. The power is not a demand to perform, it's an empowerment to become. Because we are believers, we are not doers. We don't do to be, we be to do.
And this thing you just said is what brought me clarity this year when I started liking Jesus. And you always used to say that, you know, when you encounter Jesus, it's inner transformation more than...
Not behavior modification, it's inner transformation. Yeah.
So you know why I kept coming? Because I'm just like, you know what? All my life I've been in church and I've been trying to perform. If this guy is saying, let's come to God and he would change us as we go, let's try it. And I promise you, so many things has changed in my life. So many things.
So good to hear that, man.
Right. I'm going to get into the things that I've changed, but it's just, why isn't that preached enough that, you know what, Jesus is about the inner transformation? Because when the woman encountered Jesus, obviously, with the way he even dealt with her, going forward, seeing no good one.
Correct. For it is the love of men, love of God, that brings men to repentance.
Yeah.
It's not the fear of hellfire. The gospel is not a threat message, it's a love letter. I think I said that the last time I was here. It's not that. It was the love of God consumed her, that she had enough love. You know, the cross is vertical and horizontal. We receive his love vertically. We're able to dispense it horizontally. So before you put performance on the believer, teach them becoming. Because if you become, naturally.
So how do you become?
Sorry?
How do you become?
By believing. It's really that simple. It's believe. Okay, let me say this. Righteousness consciousness is more powerful than sinlessness consciousness, because sinlessness consciousness is sin consciousness in disguise. We're ready disguise. So what religion will teach you is try not to sin. What the gospel of grace teaches you is that you're already the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. From that position, you are empowered to live right, because you're already right with God. You're not trying to impress God. Jesus already impressed God for you. So you come from the place, that's really powerful what I just said. Yeah. So you come from the place of rest. Why this message is not being preached? When you ask me all the time, one answer comes to mind is, if you ask me now, who I go ask? But again, what I would tell you is, it's been garbage in, garbage out. I'm a fourth generational pastor. My great grandfather taught my grandfather that three wise men came to see Jesus. My grandfather taught my father that three wise men came to see Jesus. My father taught me that three wise men came to see Jesus. And then I checked my Bible. It was not three wise men.
Not three wise men come to Jesus.
No. No, it's not three wise men.
It's
the Bible says wise men from the east.
There's so many myths about Jesus.
So I could pass that knowledge again to my daughter and I would destroy another. I would just continue. The age of the lie doesn't make it the truth. Yeah. So there are some old lies, wrong, great misconception about God that we have just... carry through. So how do you become? Is you believe the word of God's grace. It works from inside out. And then you become all. Believing is more powerful than behaving. Oh, that's good stuff. Believing is more powerful than behaving, because your believing will change your behaving. But your behaving cannot remove that which you have received by believing. We receive Christ by believing. We don't receive Christ by behaving. Then the Bible says, even as you have received him, walk in him. Colossians 2 verse 6, I believe. How did you receive him? By believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. That's how you then walk in Christ and walk with God. So you is believing and keep hearing this word of God's grace. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. That God there is not Theo, is Christus. So by hearing the word of God's grace. So not every word of God can build your faith. Is the word of God's grace that builds your faith. Peter says, now grow in grace and in the knowledge. That and there is kai, grow in grace, which is the knowledge of God's word, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see? So these are the truth of the gospel that, you know, we really need to preach. And I'm happy that people like you, you're talking about it on this platform where millions of people would hear this gospel and then transformation can take place.
I mean, I'm only talking about it because I've experienced it.
I mean, I know.
And I think that's the best form of evangelism, because when you've experienced Jesus, he has such an impression on you that you would want to talk about him a lot.
Correct.
No matter who you are.
Ooh, that's so powerful. You're reminding me about the woman by the well.
Yes.
That met Jesus.
When she encountered him, she just had to go and tell people.
Yeah. And that woman, because she encountered Jesus. Guess what she now said? She now went to the city and told the men. So she went to her constituents. She didn't go to the women. She went to the men and said, men, come and see a man.
Amen.
And that's still not a man. Come and see a man. So Jesus wanted to go through that city. Jesus had an encounter with this woman. She went through the city for Jesus. Guess what? She just went and guess what she was saying? Come and see Jesus. She didn't go to her YouTube page or her Instagram page and changed all the pictures. You know, she could have crazy pictures in 2020 reality. I mean, if you have had five husbands and then you are shagging the sixth one, you not be small, babe. You don't take for streets now. Now those rehab matter. Fence of Jerusalem, they do local and international mash.
Everybody knows.
Even when the disciples see Jesus with this woman, they fear.
They say, what's this? Bad rep for
Jesus. Our brand.
What's with this babe?
You know.
Jesus was such a cool guy. Like, that's what I'm saying, though.
So let me tell you. So Jesus could have a conversation with that kind of babe.
Do you know what I'm saying?
And she was even giving Jesus lines. You don't have what it takes to draw water from this well.
Yeah.
And Jesus changed her voice and said, when she finished, her look was grown. They trust Jesus.
Jesus was the guy.
Was a real guy. He was not a religious person. He was a relationship guy.
Let's talk about all the flawed people Jesus really hung out with in the Bible.
That woman in her first class.
She did the first
one.
Mary Magdalene.
They say she gets, but that woman by the well.
But why her?
It's powerful. Why her? Because Jesus is the well sitting on top of that well. Jesus is the well of life who sat on the well waiting for her to come. Note again, she was not at the well before Jesus. It was Jesus who was at the well waiting for a woman who ain't no well.
Wait for me?
Yeah, because yes.
That patient witness, this woman will come here today.
Yes. That's what salvation is. We didn't meet Christ. He was the one who met us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 verse 8, whilst we were dead in sin, Christ died for us. So it was the womb, it was the Jesus, the real well of life, sitting on Jacob's well, waiting for a woman who ain't no well. And they made her well by the encounter. Jesus was the seventh man.
My completion.
Perfection. The perfect stranger. She's had five husbands. She was trapped in the sixth. Jesus was the seventh man. And from that meeting, she became an evangelist.
That's what I'm talking about, evangelism.
Because the devil is a twister. That gift that God has given you for evangelism, he can turn it around. You start doing something crazy and you're just shouting about all the wrong things, not knowing that that shout is supposed to be turned in the right direction, and you start shouting about all the right things. So she became in the Gospels, I don't know, a more powerful female evangelist. She got the city for Jesus. Brought the city to meet Jesus by the well. So God doesn't use perfect people. He perfects the people that he wants to use.
Yeah, I know I said this thing on my Instagram one of these days, and I'm like, reading through the Bible, because I don't think that Nigerian Christians really read the Bible.
Yeah, if you want to hide something from an African man, put it in the book. But I say if you want to hide something from the believers, put it in the Bible. Ouch.
No, because when I started coming to your church.
To our church.
I'm just teaching you how to speak.
That's how you say it. Ouch.
And you started saying some things. I'm just like, I've been in church all my life.
Why didn't I say this right?
I've never heard this. It doesn't make sense. Sometimes we're like, wait, they're talking. That's how we're going to say.
But I only substantiate it from the scriptures.
But you know, let me tell you, you are breaking myths that I knew from memory.
Sunday school.
We don't recite this thing.
I know.
The character of God that I knew was the God who can bless if you are doing good.
If you do any, come to you.
So we're always performing for Jesus. But when I started coming to church, I said, hey, this man, me no go destroy my small religion where I gave for my body. I was always worried. Again, the truth is the truth. It illuminates.
It is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it.
I go back home and I'll read it. I'm just like, I really want to know more of this thing that he's talking about.
That's powerful, Timmy. You're encouraging me right here, man.
No, let me tell you, and I tell this to every person that I meet, that the Logic Church, right? I've been in church all my life. But I've never had a relationship the way I have now.
Oh my God.
I look forward to hanging out with Jesus. I look forward to talking about Jesus. And I'm still as cool as ever. Like, I'm still dressing up. I'm still doing the things I want.
If I hear.
I'm still, correct. Like, I day.
If I'm full, even more, full blown. You will get even, confidence to your swag.
I'm even more, yeah, you understand? I have a backing. I get back up, you understand?
God did it.
So God did. So, how can we, how do we translate this thing that is, that we both that, know and yeah. share to other people? Because I think that if we don't make Jesus cool again for this, our generation,
we'll lose a generation.
Yes, because we have a lot of people who really want to do things for God. But it's just, they've just been preached the wrong gospel. Imagine me being in church all my life and I didn't like the Jesus that I was serving.
My God. I know what you mean. Because it just looked like this God is bipolar.
Me no be like, say, we not serve a mabeg. Some people, they will give their mansion. If they give us bungalow, I don't mind. As long as I get there.
I won't deal with that.
I don't mind waiting.
I won't deal with that here, man. But you know, but we grew up with that whole, if you don't tithe, your life will be tight. If you are sick, check your seed. If you are suffering, check your offering. So, all those kind of things. When you come before God, you go shake like this. But guess what? Those things never really did help us. It was sin management program. It was control. It was gross misrepresentation of God. I came to that place in my life where I'm like, nah, if this is not the God, I'm not going to serve him.
See me.
Because I know if I get picky, I'm not going to treat him like this. Why are you going to treat me like this?
Can we get God?
Yes. I got to that point and I'm like, no, if this is not the God, I don't want to serve him. I beg. Then I began to see God in the light of Christ. God must be seen in the person of Christ. Christ is the absolute, accurate revelation of the nature of God. So if you want to know God, look at Jesus. How Jesus behaved. That's why Christmas is important. Because of Christmas, we know how God looks. Because of Christmas, we know how God behaves. Because of Christmas, we know the nature of God is in Christ. So Jesus came to sort out the opinion of God. Jesus is not God. Jesus is not come to defend God. Jesus is God speaking for himself. Jesus is the very God of very God.
No, but we know that here people think that God is different, Jesus is different, the Holy Spirit is different.
Let me tell you the truth. It's lack of understanding. It's H2O. H2O is ice, is liquid, is vapor, but it's still H2O. Father, Son, Spirit is still H2O.
What's that?
Yes, God in creation, Son in redemption, Spirit in regeneration. Oh, that's powerful. He's God in creation, His Son in redemption, His Spirit in regeneration. So when we say Son of God is not like me and my son, Salem, who's just a young boy growing. No. Son of God is the term God in the flesh. The Son is the Father in the flesh. The Spirit is the Father in the believer. So God came out of God with a name called Jesus. And any part of God you get gives you the fullness of God. What is remaining of Him is still the fullness of God. So Jesus is not iPhone 14 and God is iPhone 14 Pro Max. No. Jesus is the very God of very God. Jesus is the Word of God, the very God of very God.
Prototype or prototokos? You always say something about...
He's the prototype of the believer. Yes, the prototokos for the believer. So Jesus is our prototype. Jesus is who we look like, as He is, so are we in this world. That's who Christ is. So Christ is what you said is so powerful, is the double-edged sword of the identity of Christ. It shows us the nature of God. It shows us the identity of the believer. So Jesus, the Son in whom I'm well, please hear ye Him. Don't listen to the prophet. Don't listen to the law. Listen to Jesus. So Jesus, in whom I'm well, please hear ye Him. Don't listen to the prophet. Don't listen to the law. Listen to Jesus. So Jesus is the fundamental doctrine of through theology. Is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the zenith of civilization. is the question and the answer. Jesus.
Jesus
is everything.
I love conversations about Jesus.
Like, I know. We could be here forever just talking about Jesus.
How many minutes have we done? We still have time to go.
Yeah.
So what are popular myths that we need to demystify Jesus? I mean, that's why this episode is happening, right? We need to make him very cool. I mean, especially because of Christmas, his birthday, it's the best time to shout him out. What are the popular myths that you think that need to be demystified?
We must identify his assignment. Jesus came to save the world. Jesus came to save. I can't emphasize this. He came to save you. He has a title, Savior.
Mm.
He's not the guy who's the lifeguard seeing you drowning and say, oh, take this book, read How to Swim for Dummies when you are drowning. Is that what you do? Jesus is the lifeguard who jumped in the pool with his full clothes just to get you out in time. He's the lifeguard who walks on water. I give you the illustration. I say this all the time. What is the gospel? What did Jesus come to do? For the purpose of an illustration, of the illustration I give all the time would be, a guy stole a goat of 100,000 naira. Mm. Every time I do the illustration, my wife said, make the goat 100,000 naira. Goat is expensive now. Mm. And whilst he stole the goat and they caught him and, you know, the battle beat him to death and just kill him, some guy showed up in front of him and said, don't beat him, beat me for this goat. And then they begin to beat this guy for the goat. But before they beat him to death, he dropped a check for the goat just in case somebody will not harass the boy tomorrow that you didn't even pay for that goat. So he died for the goat and paid for the goat. He died for our sins. He resurrected for our justification. That's powerful. That's what Jesus did for us. But that's not where it ends. He goes to the record of the police station and the court of law and totally removed that record so that tomorrow, just in case you want to run as the governor of that state, somebody will not say, that guy went pack a goat that year and I won't run for governor. He removed that thing from the record entirely and totally so that there is no condemnation against you because now you are in Christ Jesus, because he gave you exchange. He took your life and gave you his life or paid your debt that you couldn't pay. That's powerful. So then we found out that the check that he dropped was not 100,000 naira in exchange for the goat.
It was
100 trillion GBP.
You know if you calculate them. So if you like steal multiple goats.
So if you like steal goat all your life, nobody can put in short, you buy the goat factory forever.
Mm.
So your life is not enough to exhaust the forgiveness of sins. That's so powerful. It forgave you aggressively past, present, and future. So you're under the waterfalls of the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah, and this brings me to this question about grace and what Jesus did and, should we continue in sin that grace may abound?
That's where I was going to.
And
that's not where he stopped.
Okay.
He now comes into the life of the guy who stole the goat so that he will not be stealing goat again.
Hmm. Because you know how Christians have this, you're preaching grace, but should we continue seeing that grace might abound?
Is that the scripture in Romans chapter 6 is not even, they don't even understand it. Shall we continue in sin? Not shall we continue to sin. That scripture, Paul was talking about nature, not action. Hence the response, God forbid. How can we who have been dead to this nature live in it again? If you read Message translation, you will say something like, how can those of us who are not in that city be found in that city again? Do you understand? So sin is first in nature before it's action. Nature. So you are not, you don't, it's not because you sin that made you a sinner.
But you know that we've been pretty sure that, you know, maybe if you sin today, please God forgive me my sins, you keep it moving, you have to keep. But then again, I've been made to understand that, you know, like once Jesus comes into your life, he becomes your righteousness.
Yes, that's it. It becomes your righteousness. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that will begin to give you new appetite, new wonders.
Mm.
When you now say, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Auntie, did you read the next verse? It says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do. Like I said to you, grace is both hyper and responsible. the pardon and the power. So you can't preach the pardon and not preach the power. You can't preach the power and not preach the pardon. You can't preach hyper grace without preaching responsible. Grace is both hyper and responsible. It's both the power and the pardon. So once you start hearing the gospel of God's grace accurately, you lose taste for sin.
I think that's why I am. Let me tell you for free.
Talk to me. Give me the gist.
This year, and yeah. I've said it so many times to my friends and people around me, this year was one of my most successful years.
Correct.
In the game, right? I made more money.
Correct.
I traveled. I moved houses. I bought a new car.
Huh.
Yeah, all in this same year. But this was the lowest year for me. Emotionally, I was a mess. You know, for the first time, I entertained the idea of, you know, maybe what if my time here is done? And that's when I was in a bad place.
Yes.
I was in a terrible place.
Correct.
Because I was so far away from God and everything. I was so removed, right? And, you know, I've always known God as a savior. And when I came to your church, I said, you know what, God, please, this career that you have given me, if I'm going to continue next year, you have to fix. And this has to be the year of my crushing. But the beautiful thing about it is, when I first came to church, I came with, like, you know, like, say, I don't try this church thing again, because I was always a church boy. But when I started reading word and listening, a lot of things started changing. The things that I used to like, I stopped liking them.
That's grace.
The validation was one of the most important things for me at the time, because I was struggling a lot. I wanted to please everybody.
I know.
And then I started reading the things that Jesus said about me, says about me.
That's it. That's the validation
and
you need.
I'm like, what's he? I'm not condemning. They've condemned me. Like, there's too many things that I read. I'm like, oh, this is just letters, right? But I can tell you, by the end of the year, I believe those things. I'm in a better place.
Thank you, Jesus. That's what the gospel of God's grace does.
And that's why it's so easy for me to evangelize.
Yeah, because you didn't do it because somebody scared you. If you don't do this, no. It was just the love of God, and it changed you from within. It's always inner transformation, not behavior modification.
My pastor, even when I was going to church every other weekday, and this, I see they do my one or two bad things, so I could just say, change that inner transformation. Mm. But I'm not going to lie, like, over time, that inner transformation, I don't see them. You know that thing where you detox, I said, you do all these bad things, so change that inner transformation, the toxic go. I go transform. I never see the transformation. But over time, I just realized that,
you're losing appetite.
I never did this thing for a while, though. You never?
I get that all the time. I just discovered that XYZ months, I've not masturbated, I've not smoked, I've not done this, I've not done that. But one woman said to me, this was really funny, Biflo, you have affected me by now. Between what you do last night, I put on the break TV. I don't smash in phone. I just did, I don't feel react. Now, wow, this grace, they work. That's what she said to me. I'm like, so you were mad before, now you are now healed. And we laughed about it, but guess what? That's what the work of God's grace does. And that's why the devil doesn't want this message out, because this message in it has the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. So the gospel does not have power. The gospel is the power. You see what I mean? The gospel is the power.
So there's no extra power when we say the gospel give them.
No, it's the gospel that is the power.
What of all those deliver, all those 3 days, 4 days? Because, like, some of the things we say change for my life. Eh? Before now, I probably thought I would have needed 1 week deliverance, go to the mountain.
I like what you're saying to me. Like, I feel like jumping and running around, but this place is too small.
I'm telling you, it was such a deep place.
So thought you needed to go through all those things, but
you know
that's the power of the word of God.
I was in a dark place. For you to be so successful in a year, I think there's nothing now. What are we doing? So those kind of deliverance where I need it, and those, me they lay hands, me they drink anointing oil, all those kind of deliverance, 10 liters, you understand?
Hands, lay leg. Yeah, they flog you,
I promise you, most of the deliverance just came by reading, studying,
the
worship
word of God.
At the beginning, it was hard to read and study because I really didn't like my Bible. I just really thought, okay, maybe they don't write, open the Bible, my pastor will preach from his memory verse, we keep it moving to next Sunday. I read my Bible when I'm in the club.
Interesting.
Sometimes I just get bored. I zone out. Then I just pick up my YouVersion app.
But that's just God telling you I've outgrown that place.
Not I don't know.
I didn't tell you because
no, keep growing. I'm serious. I like what I hear.
No, okay, let me say what I know. Some things have changed.
Yeah,
I'm not in the club every other day
like you used to be
as frequently. But I still hang out with my friends.
I just hung out. I won't condemn you for that.
Nobody should condemn you for that. When I'm in those places, my focus is not on promiscuity and all of that. It's just like I just want to have a good time with my friends, right? For me to reread the Bible, it means that I'm so in love with this new vibe.
That's good. That's good. You must feed it, water it, stay there, grow it, and in the knowledge of God. So that's a new appetite. That's new one too. That's new one too. Like my daughter, yeah, we should do potty trips. She didn't like peeing on herself. She will not be comfortable. Daddy, oh my God, I peed on myself. She'll feel disappointed even more. I peed on myself. She'll feel disappointed even more. I'm like, what happened to me? So I started teaching her. Right now, she just said, I need to pee. She knows where to go to. And you know, and that's how she's outgrown that phase of her life in the same way. Let grace do its work in the heart of the believers, but keep the responsibility of pastors. Keep feeding the word of God's grace. Yes, with a lot of counseling. Yes, with a lot of guidance, but you keep preaching the word of God. The message never changes because of the situation of the believer. The message remains constant in spite of the situation of the believer. That's the message of God's grace. It's like God loves you more than the devil hates you, died your death, died for you, died as you. And when he was buried, you were buried with him. When he resurrected, you resurrected with him. Now you're seated in him, not with him, in him, in Christ Jesus, in heavenly places. That's the power of the gospel.
Hallelujah.
That's what Jesus came to do for us.
That's what his birthday was about. That's what his birth is about.
That's what his birth is about. His birth was what it was about his death. That's powerful. The birth of Jesus was about his death. He came to die.
He was born to die.
He was born to die. Every time in history, a baby becomes a king to rule the nation. This is the first time the king became a baby to save the nation. That is powerful. That's the message of Christmas. It's that Jesus came to save us. He's called Savior, for he shall deliver the people from their sin. Now behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. So because Jesus has come, Christ is born in our hearts, we are never condemned before God. All our sins are forgiven because he finished his work. That's the beautiful thing about Jesus. He didn't come to perform. He came to die. If Jesus had come without performing any miracle and everything and just died, he would have done well.
Actually,
because that's why he came. He came to die. That's why he didn't let anybody kill him before his time.
Yes, so like difference for not kill Jesus.
Yes, they wanted to throw him off the mountain. No. He waited to die on the cross, that shameful death. Because the Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. That's what the Bible says. So he took the curse, dissolved it on the cross, that the blessings of God may come upon us who are Gentiles. What was the blessing of God? Redemption, salvation, Jesus. So when we come to Christmas, we're celebrating the reason for his birth. So watch this. This is powerful. When you see the Christmas tree, think of Calvary's tree. The Christmas tree is only beautiful because of Calvary's tree.
Right.
If he didn't die, that tree is useless. When you think of the tree, you see the tree, think of the cross. Because the problem started on the tree in Genesis and ended on the tree when he died. It's really powerful. It was a tree that Adam chose that put us in problem. And Jesus came and died on the tree. So the tree of life died on the tree to dissolve and destroy what that tree issue in Genesis started. It gave us the life of Christ. That's the message of the gospel. And that's what Christmas is about. That Christ is massing in me.
I love it. I think you've done justice to what Christ came here to do.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that you do this every other weekday and Sunday in your church. Yeah. I think it's just a powerful thing that you're doing. I think one of the things that I'm really, really interested in is getting young people to like God. And I don't know, I think maybe, and I think I heard in my spirit one time that, you know, God is raising influencers. The way we have social media influencers, God is raising influencers. They may not necessarily be pastors pastors are doing their job, but there are other people who represent what young people like, and God is using them. I mean, you have some fashion designers, actors,
yeah,
who are very proud of their faith.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mention names. And I really want us to get to a point where there are more people who look like the people that should come to God.
Correct.
Who are going to influence them. So I have people who, on a regular day, they don't really care about scripture and everything, but just because it's coming from me, they want to pay attention.
Yeah. So you and I would be like the woman by the well who would have to bring the city to Jesus. I'm not sure if Jesus had gone through the city, it would have happened like that. There's a reason why we have that document in the scripture, because we are the light of the world, not the light of the church. The reason why the church is blinding people is because everybody's trying to shine in church. We are the salt of the earth, not the salt in the church. The reason why the church is too harsh is because there's too much salt in the church.
It's too salty, right?
It's too salty.
My pastor, it's too salty in there.
Yeah, every time you see salt in your food, you are eating poison. Mm. Salt is designed to be felt, not seen. So you and I have to leave the confines of our comfort zone to get into, to go outside. You know the interesting thing about Jesus? He died outside.
Outside where?
Outside the city.
Right.
So he died outside. And that's really strong metaphor for us. He died outside to bring us inside. So the Son of God who was inside came outside to get outside us inside.
There's so many metaphors in the Bible.
So now that's that we are inside him, it's important for us to go out there and bring people. We're not supposed to go out there to stay out there. It's go out there to keep bringing people. And you're talking about trying to market or trying to convince a generation about Jesus. I'm not sure that you do a lot convincing a generation about the new iPhone 14 Pro Max.
Exactly.
Why? Because it has a brand that they want to be associated with. The thing is, the gospel and the person of God and the finished work has been grossly misunderstood and misrepresented, that you and I have that task to say, hey, he's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. He's not trying to kill you. He died for you. He's not a taskmaster trying to demand from you. He wants to empower you. We need to shout about the love of God. That's what brings men to repentance. So that's the task. Because if they see Jesus, if they experience Jesus, there are some people that I know out there, I look at them, this person is this. I'm like, if this person just experiences Jesus, end of discussion.
The experience and the finish matter for this.
Because he's the one who can quench that thirst that they have, that void that they have. Only Jesus can fill it. He's the gift that keeps on giving and the cup that never runs dry.
Hallelujah.
It's the greatest phenomena that has walked this surface of the earth. Doesn't matter who holds musical celebrity, the name of Jesus remains the sweetest melody. I don't care who trends on Twitter. Jesus has more followers without a handle. Yes.
I think I need to open a handle for Jesus, though.
No, he already has more followers without a handle.
I'm joking. Yes. Well, this is a perfect episode for Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's really about him. This is Jesus' birthday, so we'll still just talk about him.
We're celebrating his birth.
His birth, but I mean his birthday boy now. Yeah. We're going to celebrate him since that. By now, Jesus could only reach like 3,000 years.
He's the ancient of days. He was celebrating his incarnation when the word became flesh. That's so powerful.
Quite.
That's so powerful that the word of God became flesh and then dwelt amongst us. God came and became man to deliver man and make man God. That's powerful what Jesus did. It's really powerful. And I'm happy you're doing this because people will hear this and actually understand that the purpose of salvation is that God looked at man and said, hey, how do I save man? The God now told God, God, I'll wait, let me come out
as a man
and enter into the womb of this woman and become a man, take their punishment and reconcile them. So Jesus, by his birth coming to die for us, ended the enmity between humanity and divinity. So God is no longer angry with us. God is madly in love with us, not mad with us, because of the finished work on the cross of Calvary. Jesus is bae. He's the boo that is a bae. A boo bae, the loving bridegroom.
So we have a tradition on TWTA.
Yeah.
Where we spill the tea. Courtesy Lipton, of course. Lipton wants us to connect more than. So I'm going to ask you some questions where I know put for my initial question when I want to ask you.
Okay. Yeah.
No worry. No big question where you go. I mean, because as you pastor, guys ask you questions where you go make you actually spill the tea.
Mm. What's one temptation you struggle with?
One temptation I struggle with is patience. My wife will tell you that.
Mm.
That flourishing needs to be more patient.
What is the odds?
You know, like you said to me, how did you even put it again? How do I feel having a church when don't blow? Like the way you put it, I'm like, I'm not aware that the church don't blow. I'm thirsty, I'm
more,
hungry.
More.
I want more, I want souls. Mm. And sometimes she feels like, you know, you need to be more patient with people.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm getting better. That so I used to be more, you know, very impatient. So I know that, yes, and impatient comes with a lot of things. You know how you have one struggle, it comes with a pack of struggles. So impatient, you now get frustrated, anger will come join, you know, being brash will come. Yeah, all of that comes with the first emotion of you just being impatient. Yeah. So that God has helped me
God
with that,
and I'm
getting better.
You're
now.
Getting better.
I'm way better. I see some things now. I'm like, if not before, by now. Close that department. Come out of here, but get out of here, man. Basically,
you know, like we'll get temper if not see God would you.
No, you know, but you know
just a smile they give you. I don't say your character for bad.
I know the lie excuse, Timisa. I know the lie excuse. And because I'm not that guy.
Mm.
Like you told me a time, you gave me time today. I was here 5 minutes before that time. I know the lie, there's traffic. You know, say traffic daily goes before now. Why did you give a planner? You understand? So maybe because you say I'm a perfectionist, so it comes with that. I don't know, but again, I know the like, yeah. Excuses are the tools of the incompetent, monument of nothingness. Those who use them are not wise and will never make it in life.
I know that quote.
My dad spoke that thing into my head, the man who I call father, you know, drilled it into my head. So excuses, they're not the chopam for where I grew from. So now having a system, and you know, I now know that you have a lot of Gen Zs who are from a different planet, very lovely people. I love them, but so you have to be patient. So that will be the struggle. You say, oh no, there was traffic. I'm like, yeah.
Ah,
traffic you did on normal level now.
My Holy Spirit, they help me, they do. This is my producer.
Yeah, okay. Ah, so
if she gives me some kind of excuse, I will just look and say, no problem.
So Muna not to blame me, but that, yeah, I've struggled with that. My head will grow, like they'll come gaslight you put. When you now say, but you know, it's not my fault, it's not my this. Just ask simple question. When you leave house, when did you wake up? When did you set out on this journey? You'll not be hearing, no, it's usually a 30 minutes drive. I'm like, come on now. It's Friday, like it's Monday, you know. So I used to have all of that, but I'm a lot better now. Yeah. I mean, my staff, my team will tell you, yes. You'll look at now and say, you know what? They're not the scratch your body the way they scratch you sometimes. So as you go put soft for your body. And then God go help you kill the mosquito when land for your brocos. Because if you knock and wear, you go hurt yourself.
Are
they talking because you'll be worried, so you go understand? I don't know that they understand what I'm saying.
They do,
but
it's don't
fine.
Mind the, okay. I don't think this one is on the list too, but I'm just very curious, right?
Yeah.
Knowing that you be worried, boy, we face the town. I mean, you've always been a picky, but you've been exposed, you grew up for being at some point.
Yeah, 052, but yeah, went to Baptist High School. Like then,
you know, because sometimes we just miss for time. Like, you don't want to hang out with us for like Zaza once in a while. Just stay with us. You know, so we were there the world. Like,
what you say, I didn't miss, Abby?
You didn't miss anything. Like, you know, like,
I didn't miss anything, no.
Yeah?
I'm serious.
Let's just change finish.
No, even when that time you say maybe I never really know. I know they miss anything, no. Like, I don't understand that club effect. They know they play music. You're the gay headache. People just come. So we wear two handkerchief. One, two. They walk around you. I know they understand. Remember, I'm like, these people are normal because not crazy people. They just like this.
You really? Know? So,
I'm sure I don't miss someone. I don't like. I don't. You know, I'm never gonna say I cause. Man, I go smoke. I don't miss those things. So honestly, yes. But I want to.
So when last did you go? Like, have you been in the club in Lagos? And like,
I never even seen a club. Now this place for. Hard Rock Cafe. Where is that again? Is that Landmark?
Yeah.
So it was a friend's birthday. And I think he now said, okay, Hard Rock Cafe, 11-ish, thereabout. So me can't go now. God so kind, I went to my wife. Yeah, we're still dating then. So I went there. So I just began to say, happy flow, we see you for club. I said, I don't don't see Hard Rock Cafe they change for Sokaita in Toronto. I don't know. So I just did there, do the birthday, find something chop. Around like 12, I can say, oh, guy, make I go house, make I go drop my babe for house, then I'll come go house. Then my guy, one of my friends just said, Mr. Piflu, you see they see you for club. I say, no, I don't know, see like my mind. I go hang out with my guys.
Okay, so wait, which kind of place is called the hangout for this Lagos?
I enjoy myself. Like, I love my company. Mm. Do you understand?
No, I know you'll enjoy your company, but if you say, will you come out this Christmas like this, okay.
My restaurant, me and my family, they go shop. Me, my family, my friends.
But some of the people, will you go to a restaurant now? Those sit in a resto lounge.
Resto lounge.
Temisa.
I didn't say resto lounge. Resto lounge. I know they go resto lounge. That, yeah. The restaurant, they go to a pure restaurant. Now, because again, a pastor mess this
year. Exactly what I wanted.
Because
you.
The giving you, you're seeing and say, hey, I talk to this guy. This mess really appreciate about grace. And because they do kati kati.
You know, see, sometimes so, the one they drag me say, you will go to preach before you go see. I said, no, I'm an apostle in the marketplace.
Straight,
you my pastor and poop is into you.
Man, they
if
run
I don't
you.
Hang among the people, how will I?
How will I? How will, yeah. So your own, you get better excuse and your mouth sharp guy. So you win them. But I don't fit win that argument.
Not true, sure.
You know, get to your hands. So I don't feel win that argument. People will say, can you imagine? I see your pastor. So now my members of Fedeco, your pastor, and me right now, what are you drinking? You see, like, and see the 40 bottle. I don't drink. You know, the Bible says a pastor should not be given to wine. It's, you know, it normally say if you drink. It normally say if you drink, say you not be pastor again or no. I don't know for every other pastor, but I'm just saying I saw it in my Bible. I'm not giving to alcohol. I not the drink because I get enough ginger for myself. I don't know if I drink what I go do now. People say I go camp. People say I go hash.
Me, I drink shower, my pastor.
I know now.
Because now be not be just they turn water into wine.
Just turn water to wine, not be grape juice.
I know me, I like sparkling wine, you understand? So
I get you. So I'm not drinking.
I thank God for that one for my life, sure. The last one, if I let you go.
Yeah.
If you weren't a pastor, what other career path would you be chasing?
If I was not a pastor, I would be a make it happen guy.
The plug.
Huh?
A plug.
I'll be. You want something done? I don't know whether there's any work like that, sir. I'll be a good like PASA. You want to get something done without any excuse? I'm an executor.
Really?
Yeah, I'm an executor. Maybe I for the do event too. Maybe that one's FD. Yeah, but I'll be an executor. Maybe, but I'm a make it happen person. Yeah, do you want something done without any story? Without it, yeah, that's what I would have been. Anything around that would have gotten me. But sit down for office, begin press laptop, not maybe that.
I swear.
No, that's too boring for my energy. I want to go out there, get the stuff done, jump a bike if I have to, do whatever, do crazy things. And I've done it in the gospel. You know, I've done crazy. You have no idea.
Don't judge you,
you know, you have no idea. So it's no excuse. Just get the job. I'm that guy, basically. So anything around that, I would have done it.
Amazing.
Because it comes to me naturally.
Cheers to the season. I don't want to drip on finish.
How do you draw that? What's that? How do you sip right on? No, I won't do that.
The just slurp. Oh, I believe that much. Anyway, we've come to the end of this amazing episode.
Thank you, Temisa, for bringing me.
Thank you
here.
For coming. Can thank I you for talking about Jesus. Now? No, wait face now.
Okay, sorry.
You will see you and take give mandate for
if I hear
for this Christmas. Okay, so we've come to the end of the show. Please help me sign out and tell them what the mandate for us as Christians is for this Christmas. You're not even just Christians, just anybody who's celebrating the birth of Jesus. Shout out to birthday boy too.
Shout out to birthday boy Jesus. So is this sign out? I was here with Temisa and his other thing.
Let me see what you want to do, but now you could be the last part
for this show.
For this show.
Ah, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
So beautiful. Thank you.
Beginning and end.
Beginning and the ending. He has no end.
Cool.
See what I'm saying? It's the beginning and the ending. Alpha Omega, beginning and the ending. Hi guys, it's Christmas season and I just want you to know Jesus came not just to enjoy life, he came to die. And if you're here, you have not accepted Jesus, I want to lead you to Christ. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I believe you came and you died for me. I believe in the power of the resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. I accept you into my heart today. come take over my space, my heart, my spirit, my soul, and my body. I believe you died for me. I believe you resurrected for my justification. Come into my heart, Jesus. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for dying for me. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Guys, I did hang out with Temi-san today. It was a beautiful time, the Christmas episode. Jesus is born in the manger, but Christ is born in our hearts. Enjoy Jesus. Blessings.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.